I came here today from North Carolina through Memphis, Tennessee, to stand with the Mississippi Poor People's Campaign and all of you and all the organizations that have joined in this fusion coalition together. And I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be in the heart of the South, where people are still fighting, as they used to say, to make sure the South has a heart. As I sat there and listened, and I know today, Danielle, and all you who have spoken, you've written a bill, right, that you're delivering a ballot initiative. We want a ballot initiative in Mississippi for people to vote on felony re-enfranchisement. My sister, you're so right. It's just James Crow Esquire, Jim Crow dressed up in a suit. And we've come here today to stand with all of you in this fight that is not just a Mississippi fight, but a fight around the country for felony re-enfranchisement. I want the folk listening, there are hundreds of thousands of people listening on live stream across the nation and the world right now. 5 years for a first time shoplifting. That's evil. 15 years for allegedly intimidating somebody. 15 years. That's evil. I've been out of jail 13 years. I've built a business. I'm helping with individuals. You heard the brother. Our trans sister says, listen, I went in and I got sick, and people are getting sick in prison who ought to be out. And then I come out and I do all the things, even get a master's degree. And yet they still try to lock me up by keeping me from the ability to vote. And my sister, you said it exactly right. Taxation without representation is unconstitutional. It's un-American. It's ungodly. So I'm here today to stand with you to do something else, to make a national announcement from Mississippi. And we're going to come back when COVID is better. But when we relaunched the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival 3 years ago, we commissioned a study, and we learned at that time there were over 140 million poor and low-wealth people in this nation. And all of them are impacted by five interlocking injustices that you can't separate. You can't just deal with one and not deal with the other. Systemic racism in all of its forms, black people, brown people, Asian people, native people. Systemic poverty. Ecological devastation and the denial of health care. The war economy. And the militarization of our communities, and the false moral narrative of religious nationalism that tries to teach us, wrongfully teach, that if you're against a woman's right to choose, you're against gay people, you're for tax cuts, you believe Jesus was a founding member of the NRA, and you vote for a certain party whose name starts with an R, that somehow that's a godly position, and it is not a godly position. It is not biblical. And so today I'm here to announce the Poor People's Campaign, our 46 coordinated members, states, hundreds of organizations, over 2,000 clergy and faith leaders. We will hold this June 21st a second mass poor people's low-wage workers assembly and moral march on Washington virtually. Last year, we did it in June, and we had 2.4 million people showed up. 2.4 million people tuned in via live stream, TV, radio, phone. It was because of COVID that we didn't go to D.C. So we're going to gather again this summer. But on that day, virtually, we're going to launch a and 65-day mobilization for an in-person mass poor people's low-wage workers assembly and moral march on Washington in June of 2022. It's time for poor and low-wealth people to flex our power. And we are committed on that day to put poor and working poor voices at the center of the national agenda during the midterm election, because we know that we must lift from the bottom, and if we lift this nation from the bottom, then everybody rises. Poor and low wealth people are organizing to demand a moral and economic agenda that lifts from the bottom. It guarantees a true measurement of poverty. Oh, because the measurements are off. They tell us in the government way it measures poverty. It says if you make $12,800 a year, you're not poor. So we need a true measure. We need living wages beginning with $15 an hour. We need universal health care. We need full investment in education. We need guaranteed incomes. We need a big, big infrastructure plan with labor and union rights that targets poor and low wealth communities with environmentally safe jobs. We need full and protected and expanded voting rights. We need the restoration of the Voting Rights Act and pre-clearance so that none of these legislators can pass laws without them having to be pre-cleared by the Justice Department. We need an end to felony disenfranchisement, an end to police brutality and murder. We need fair justice of immigration reform. We need full protection and justice for indigenous people. And we need fair taxes and a repeal of the 2017 regressive tax cuts. And we need to redirect the bloated military budget to education, health care, and infrastructure. Do you know right now in this country we spend nearly $800 billion a year on the war economy? Most of it goes to war manufacturers, weapons manufacturers. And if we were to cut that budget in half, we would still have more money in our military budget than Russia, North Korea, China, Iraq, and Iran combined. The 140 million poor and low-wealth people in this country, 43%, they live in every region. I'm gonna give you some numbers. Now, every state is accounted for, and some of them are double counts because of the regional identities, but I want you to hear this. There are 50 million poor and low-wealth people in the South, from Alabama to Texas. A third of all poor people live in the South. A third of all white poor people live in the South. There are 40 million poor people in the Appalachian Mountains, with 8.6 million in New York alone. There are over 40 million in the Southwest border states, Arizona, California, Colorado, with 20 million of them living in California alone. There are 20 million poor and low-wealth people in the Midwest deindustrialized states, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Indiana, Michigan. There are 11 million in the Northeast states. I'm not calling every state, I'm calling the region. And there are over 7 million poor and low-wealth people in the Northwest, Alaska, Idaho, places like that, Minnesota. There are nearly 7 million poor and low-wealth people in the Great Plains, Iowa, Kansas, states like that, Montana. There are nearly 700,000 poor and low-wealth people in Hawaii, and over 300,000 poor and low-wealth people in the nation's capital in Washington, D.C. In Mississippi, there are 588,000 workers that make under $15 an hour. 53% of Mississippi's workforce makes less than $15 an hour. And that's the second highest in the country, in Mississippi. And what causes this? Of neoliberalism that says all you got to care about is the middle class? Or trickle-down economics that says you just give the wealthy all the money and they'll let a little bit trickle down? And talk about militarism. Mississippi's contribution to the endless war in Iraq and Afghanistan has cost this state $27 billion. That $27 billion could have created 21,500 new jobs in clean energy. That $27 billion could have placed every Mississippi child in Head Start early childhood education program. That $27 billion could have covered the cost of Medicaid for 357,000 adults for the past 17 years. Dr. King said any nation with its military budget determines its politics more than caring for people. That nation is on a spiral to a spiritual death. Mississippi has spent, listen at this, $1.4 billion in public tax money to get corporations here, but they haven't required those corporations to pay a living wage. And they block union rights for the workers. And these realities are not a sad accident of apolitical market forces. It is the predictable outcome of intentional policy choices that are aimed to redistribute economic leverage and bargaining power upward and away from the poor and low-wealth people of this nation. And it's time that we say no. And it wasn't one piece of legislation. It was an accumulation in the nation of dozens of hundreds of policy choices made in the form of legislation. We did a study for the Economic Policy Institute, and they said this has come about because year after year after year after year, regulatory changes, administrative changes, bad laws have put a thumb on the scale to ensure that the wealthy have more and the poor and low wealth have less. And then the pandemic hit. All that I said to you, that was prior to the pandemic. 140 million people poor and low wealth prior to the pandemic. Then the pandemic hit, and over 550,000 people's lives have been lost. One study at Columbia University said 60% of the people didn't even have to die if we'd made different choices.